Grow My Cleaning Company teaches owners of cleaning companies just like you how to grow your company, make more money, and finally take charge of your financial future and your life. This podcast is about automating and creating systems that give you time and money freedom so you can grow like crazy without losing control. Since this is totally free, if you're getting tons of value, want to support us and make sure that you get more of the good stuff, subscribe, rate, and review to this podcast today. Now, on to the show. Hey, Cleaning Nation, I have the, usually I say the lovely when it's a lady, and John's a lot of things, a lot of good things. I don't know if lovely would make my top 10. The spectacular, the semi-intelligent, depending on when you talk to him. And he's one of our clients, so I feel obligated to bust his chops just a little bit. But I've got John Gluck with him. We call him Lucky John because we're not that bright, and Lucky, you know, you'll get there. He started Generations Commercial Cleaning in the early 90s, which makes me feel like, okay, good. I'm at home with another old guy. You should be talking to what I feel are kids. I got another old guy with me in Athens, Georgia. They're a building maintenance service company focusing on janitorial and floor care. Let's do this. I know you've got a question I want to get to, but anytime we've got any of our clients on, I want to get a little more about you. So let's just give us a minute of, you know, it's been early 90s. We're recording, you know, early 2020s. You know, it sounds an awful lot like 30 years where I come from. Tell me a little bit about how you got in, a little bit of evolution of your business, and we'll dive into whatever question you got.
First of all, I have no idea how it's possible that it's been 30 years. That means I'm old and I don't like that. But having said that, no, man, I tell people I literally tripped into this business. And I'm sure that's not an original story, but started doing it on the side, was helping somebody out. Somebody thought we were doing a good job, told somebody about it. And it literally started to avalanche like that. And at some point I had to make a choice between, you know, what I was doing for a living and doing this full time. And so money talked and then I walked and frankly, Mike, I had no business plan. I had no idea what I was doing and I've been faking it for 20 years.
Hey, me too. I knew I was a kindred spirit with John. How long did it take for you to go from part-time hustle to, you know what, I'm all in?
I think from the moment we started, this is back in the 90s and we've already established I'm old. So I don't know if I can remember that far back, but I want to say it was like 2-3 years once it started.
Okay.
Once we started, got a little track.
Kind of once you got in, you're like, this is for real. I don't have to. Okay, cool. Awesome. All right, cool. What's the one number thing going on in your world I can help you with today, my friend?
Well, we've been dipping our toe. I say, since I dip in our toe, we've started this program and I'm learning that I'm doing a lot of things wrong, which was kind of the point, right? But we are set up now strictly subcontractors. And I understand that's kind of the wrong way to go about it. And I wanted you to explain a little bit about the transition and then what are the pros and cons to having the employee versus subcontracting?
Yeah. And as judgy as I like to get, the word, you know, that's the wrong way to do it, I think might be a little strong. So let's start with the second half of the question. We'll go to the first. So the first is, what should I do? Right. Should I be contractors, sub, you know, and there's really two questions. One I can answer. Well, there's two pieces of that. One is what's legal and the other is what's best business practice. And they're different. So what's legal, I'm not a lawyer, not in Arizona, not in John's state, and not in wherever you're listening to. I'm not licensed to practice law there. Athens, Georgia. I forgot. By the way, for those of you on the podcast missing on the video, we've got a George Bulldogs sign in the back. So just so you know what time it is. All right. So that said, and the frustrating part is I'm not a guy that is licensed in law. And if you get my opinion, you'll give it. And if you ask two or three lawyers that are licensed to practice law in your state, you might get two or three different answers. So this is a prickly pear. And for now, we'll just speak for United States and Canada. I know we've got clients all over the world, but I found conceptually a lot of the way government likes to run is similar. Canada has a lot of similar philosophies on this as does the states. What I have found, and keep in mind, I'm not with the government, right? I don't collect taxes. I'm not here to like be your mom or your conscience or tell you, you do, you know, generally I do think it's best business practice to follow the law anyway. So, but that said, more times than not, it's 80% of the time, what we think are, especially if you're in, God forbid you're in California, sorry, Californians, or New York or some of those, a lot of times what we think is a 1099 contractor is a W-2 employee as dictated by the law. So if that's your case, then I would immediately say, yeah, you should switch to be legal immediately. There are, I believe, some gray areas, and they're getting less and less gray and more black and white. Like, you know, Uber's fighting, and those people are, in my opinion doesn't count because I'm not a lawyer. Those people are completely contractors. It's their car at their time, when they want, where they want. And California's trying to go, no, you're employees. So if, and there's been some wins from Uber and some, you know, so I think that story's still being told. But if California is considering Uber's employees, I mean, holy heck, guys, gals, how on God's green earth can we have that not be? So for the vast majority of folks, you're either in the, if you that have 1099 and do not have W-2 employee cleaners, you're just flat in violation of the law. And again, I'm not here to say it's right or wrong. I'm just telling you my understanding of it. For the minority, it's a lot of gray area, which I don't like, right? I don't want anything to be able to take down my business, you know? And again, I do get a little bitter with the government. John's been busting hump and serving people and employing people and paying taxes for 30 years. Government comes in and just goes, yeah, we've decided retroactively they were always W-2 and here's an insurmountable amount of fines and effectively you're out of business. I mean, that's the reality of the world we live in. So I'm not willing to have that over my head. So if I'm in the black or the gray area, I'm immediately going to switch to W-2. I would say there's a vast minority. And again, talk to your labor lawyer. And if you've got a labor lawyer, it's like absolutely in this state, the way that you have it set up there, absolutely okay to be 1099. God bless you, right? That's fine by me. I just think a lot fewer of us are in that situation than we think. And again, is it likely that you're going to get audited? I wouldn't say likely, but here's the problem. If any of your employees, the more employees you have, the more likely it is. If any of your employees get audited, they're going to go, what's all this income? They go, oh, that's my 1099 contractor. In that case, it's almost guaranteed you're going to get audited. So it's not just if you get audited, it's if any of your employees get audited that have made a substantial income. The government's not, well, when it comes to collecting money and blowing crap up, they're genius. They're stupid about a lot of stuff, not about getting their hands in your pocket. So anyway, that's that. So that's on the government side. On the business side, which would be, I would be qualified to talk about, not the legal side. I have found for me personally, especially when we're in person, I like W-2 employees. I feel like I can coach them more. I feel like I can ask for more of a commitment. I'm not always worried about, am I fulfilling? Is this too much coaching? Can I ask them to wear a uniform? Blah, 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 blah. And I'll tell you, the government doesn't make it easy, right? You know, someone wants to sue you or this or that or the other. There's more, aside from the extra 20%, give or take, it's going to cost you over 1099s. There's some liability there. So I hate to be kind of the bearer of bad news, but let's get to the good side. So that would be my indicator of like how to make a decision. So for those of you like, I feel not great. Okay, well, let's talk about how to make that transition. Sorry, not decision, that transition to W-2 employee from 1099. So first of all, pay experts to do their job, right? When it comes to, you know, for 1099s, you write a check and that's that. You're like, what about FUTA and SUTA and 941 filing and 945 and W-2 and W-3? That stuff freaks me out too, man. I got smart people that do it. Cool thing is there's so many companies out there that can do it very, very cheap. ADP or Paychex or whatever. Just pick a big company that if they make a mistake, they'll make you whole. So the paperwork part of it, just find a payroll company that's an expert in that and a big one. Don't find a little one, because what I'm really looking for is the insurance, right? If your accountant does your payroll and they make a mistake on your payroll taxes, government doesn't, you know, everyone's like, oh, the IRS is the worst. That's your money that they've decided is theirs they're trying to get. Imagine keeping their money, right? Like that's payroll. That payroll tax, they don't fool around. Sales tax and payroll tax folk, they do not fool around. So just make sure you got someone big, right? If you got a little accountant that's just a one-man show or a two-man show, and then they screw up and make a mistake and you get all these fees and all that, are they really going to be able to write you a check? If a big national or multinational company does it, they will be able to back you up. So pay someone else to do it. The big thing that and for their advice, right? Like what's legal, what's not legal. If I'm going to have a cleaning company, I'm going to have a labor lawyer in my state that I might just have a $500 or $1,000 retainer. Just so when I call them, when I call them and something goes wrong, it's not like, hi, John, I'm Mike. Here's my, you know, we've already talked. They already know me. They're like me. Everything's good. I'm locked. They've got a retainer. So they have to take my call because they take my money. So I'd always have a labor lawyer on track, and I'd always have a good payroll company that I trusted that's going to have a good idea of what the laws are in your state. So
the transition is the easy part is really just calling a payroll company and saying, help me make this transition. The part most people worry about is it's going to cost too much. And how do I tell my employees? That's, I don't want to say the hard part, but the fear generating part. So let's dive into that. That's going to cost too much is actually, believe it or not, a strategic advantage, not a strategic downside. So here's where the good news comes in. Now that we've gone over the reality of W-2 versus 1099, you are armed with some information to tell your client. So if John's my client and he, and I have to raise prices on him and he goes, oh, I'm not paying that, I can make it cheaper, blah, 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 blah. There's only two people competing with you, people doing it legally and people doing it illegally. So the people doing it illegally, I can tell John, I've discovered this is the case. And here, and by the way, here's the math that happens, by the way, a lot of that expenses, workers' compensation insurance. And the deal is, hey, John, you're a subcontractor, so I'm not going to pay your workers' comp. You got to get your workers' comp. Y'all know as well as I do, John ain't getting his, for $13 an hour cleaning gig, John ain't getting his workers' comp. So I guarantee on commercial, hey, John, so it's, I'm going to save you a nickel, but none of our people have workers' compensation insurance. You okay with that? 0% of commercial clients are going to be okay with that. So that you've just eliminated all of that competition. Even with, if you're residential, you should be doing nicer houses that have money that you're not, you know, taking their last nickel to clean for them. They're not going to want you in their $1 million house or high dollar house without insurance either. And just most moral, ethical people are like, no, I want people to have insurance and I want people to be legal and I want all that stuff. So the beautiful thing is, even though the price may be different, you've eliminated all the guy with mop that's not a real company. And is that going to eliminate a small amount of the people that may be doing business with you? Maybe, but you know, they were bad customers anyway, right? If it's just a guy that's like, I picked you because you're the cheapest. And if you're not the cheapest, I'm out. Let Walmart do Walmart, right? We're not, we got to be Nordstrom's. It's really hard to be Walmart because they're the cheapest, right? So if you can't be the cheapest, you might as well be the most expensive. There's nothing for second cheapest. They're always going to go the cheapest. So if you're not going to, you know, there's no price for second cheapest, third, you might as well be on the expensive side and provide good service. So good news is with telling your customers, it's not just something for nothing. Hey, we're arbitrarily just asking for more money. It's, we want to make sure we comply with the law. We're going to make sure our people have the proper insurance. We've always had liability insurance. Hopefully you should have had that. If not, for God's sakes, get a liability insurance. Yeah. We're going to now make sure it's workers' compensation insurance. It's the right thing to do. And if you want to save a nickel and have someone else, not have insured people in your home and have it be cheaper, God bless. You ain't a customer for me. This is where we part friends. So that, any questions or comments on John, before I go on to how we do with the employees, to A, if and when you should switch, and B, what that conversation might look like with your client?
I know, but you hit the nail on the head. It's the fear of the cost because you're adding services you haven't had. And so, that's absolutely the biggest thing. And you're also correct on the fact that I'm having to pay that insurance anyway, because my $13 an hour employee is not paying on their own. So
they're just not. Yeah. So hopefully that, again, not, aside from the word tracks, more the confidence of like, okay, maybe their price is going up by 20%, but the value is going, the same reason it's valuable to you to pay the workers' comp. Like, I don't want my business to get put out of business for some stupid thing. Guess what? Who you're cleaning for feels the same way. I don't want someone to get in a car accident to and from my thing and sue the crap out of me. And where are they going to win? I don't know, but this is America, man. Anyone can sue anyone. And you do not want to be the rich business owner versus poor, you know, cleaner in any sort of court case. They're going to kill you. Or same thing in Canada, kids, right? Okay. So we're clear on what to do when, you know, as clear as we're going to get in today's day and age on should I switch. Hopefully we're clear on, okay, this makes sense, not just for me, but for my client. I'm not trying to, you know, I win with more money and they lose. This is a win-win. And you're eliminating a lot of your poor competition. You know, for people like, oh, people are out there doing it for nickel and whatever. Well, stop competing with them, right? I always say, I'm sure there's a coach out there under a bridge down by the river somewhere that'll coach you for a nickel. We don't charge a nickel. We're expensive. He ain't my competition, right? Not even worried about it. So I want you guys to elevate your thinking like that guy ain't my competition. All right. Last question would be for the employees. There's a couple ways to go about this. One can be, we're just going to do it with all new hires. The only time, you know, we kind of know with cleaning companies, turnover can be high, which in 98% of the universe sucks. Here's the one time good to high turnover can help you. If you just hire new employees as W-2s and grandfather in 1099s, if your turnover is, you know, high enough, within 3-4 months, you'll have a whole new team and problem solved. Again, talk to, I don't know if that's legal, right? If I was in the black and I felt like this is completely illegal, I'm not going to be like, all right, you guys have been here before, so you can continue being illegal, but the new people were going to be legal. I just want to be legal. So I'm probably not going to do that, but that is a strategy in the world that exists. So not what I'm coaching you to do, but probably the easiest, least painful up front, but probably highest risk, right? Like, cause then you're really screwed if you get audited. Cause now what are you going to say? They're like, you're hiring employees. You knew it was wrong. And you're like, well, I know, but it was a difficult conversation I didn't want to have. It's like, the government doesn't care about your difficult conversations. So not the way I would coach you to do, but just want to acknowledge it as a strategy. It's just kind of hire and wait for it to change. The second is we just pick a new date and say, and again, talk to your labor lawyer, right? Because the way I'm doing it, this is how you would relate with your employees, but not necessarily the way to follow the law best in your state or province. And that's obviously going to supersede what I tell you to do. So always follow the law first and then take good business coaching second. And oftentimes they're different, right? With a lot of hoops we have to jump through with the government's not the best for growing a business, but violating the law ain't so good for growing businesses either. So always I will defer to the laws in your state to do this right. So assuming you're following the laws of the state, the conversation with them would be as the way I would do it is as of this date. And again, work through this with your payroll company. Good news is we're going to start paying your FUTA, your SUTA, your federal unemployment, your state unemployment, your workers' compensation. You're going to start getting more stuff. If you did it the way I told you to do it, the customers are going to pay for it. So their rate would stay the same. They're going to be happy as can be, right? Cause like, oh, I still make the same money I did before, but now I have all these extra benefits. Yeah. That conversation is easy. I think where it comes into trouble is people go, oh, well, I was paying you $12 as a contractor, but it's going to cost me more. So now I got to pay you $10 as a employee because it's going to cost me an extra $2. I got to give to the FUTA, SUTA, workers' comp stuff. That makes sense to us business owners. And it actually does make sense at a higher level. If I'm a contractor for $100,000 and I'm going to get hired, I would expect to get paid $80,000, right? That's just because I'm actually going to have workers' compensation. I'm actually going to have expenses associated with being a 1099 at $12 an hour. They're not getting that math. So if you do that, I'm not saying it's wrong or immoral and it's fine. I'm just saying it's ineffective. Again, if John was consulting me for $150 an hour, which turns out to $100,000 a year. And we hired him. And I'm like, hey, you understand how this works. Salary would be $80,000. John's like, I get that there's other benefits and right. He'd be okay with that. But again, his $12 employee is not going to get that. So I personally am going to have the client absorb that cost as opposed to trying to recoup it by lowering my poor $12 an hour guy's wage to 11. This poor son of a gun, he can't handle it. And then if you do want to do a hybrid, you could still, if you're unwilling to raise prices on your people, and I think you should, especially with the conversation of, hey, you've been getting unlicensed people or, you've been getting 1099 contractors, you can get employees. So your service should get better. Your legality should, a lot of things should get better for you. So here's a new price. If you're unwilling to do that, I would do that kind of phase it out thing where everyone's a 1099 or everyone's a W-2 as of this date. I'm going to absorb the cost on my current employees, but I might hire my new employees at a lower rate, right? So the old guys are grandfathered in higher rate, but the new guys, if it was $14 for a contractor and it should be 12 for employee, I'm going to keep the contractors at $14 and just eat that expense. But every time I hire a new guy, it's going to be $12 and it'll dilute it. All right. I think that is about as deep as I've gone on a boring subject at one podcast. Questions, comments, Rudo Mark. Oh, wait, hold on. Wake up, John. He fell asleep there in the middle because I bored him to tears. Questions, comments, Rudo Mark.
That's what we're here for.
Sometimes again, most of it's like, how do we get, and it sucks. I love like, how do we get clients and how do I build a culture and stuff that really builds businesses and how do I comply with the law as it relates to it's important, but it's my least favorite. All right. Go ahead. Looks like you got something to say.
No, I was just going to say the interesting thing about this is one of the reasons why I want to build is I want to have the freedom to be able to let somebody go. So I have more empowerment when I go have these conversations. This specific location, everything you just said told me more than anything, these need to be employees because of the size of it. It's actually, for me, my only subcontract. There's a company out of another state that happens to have this umbrella of this particular company, and they have a distribution center here in Georgia. And so I'm actually a third party, I guess is how you would say it. And that contract is actually between this other party and this distribution center. And I know that I have the power to go renegotiate with this one, but it's a little bit more complicated, which might be a conversation for another time.
Yeah.
But that's what's going through my head.
Yeah. And unfortunately, your relationship with your client has nothing to do with your relationship with your employees. So again, if I'm an auditor, and God forbid, you know, he doesn't care none of that about nothing. But what may happen is, so again, that customer might be in the bad customer bucket of, yeah, we don't care about any of that stuff. Lie, cheat, steal. As long as we're covered, we don't care if they haven't, we don't care any of that stuff. And then you might have to decide, okay, am I willing to do business with someone that's, there are people out there that go, I don't care. I don't care if you pay them slave wages. I don't care if you beat them and make them live in a basement as long as I save a nickel. For me, I'm choosing not, that's not who I want to have in my life for money, for free, for anything. They got to go. But again, easy for me to say, sometimes harder for you guys to implement. So that would be really the same, a different version of the same conversation of, is this a client I want, right? If they're
right.
And that only John can answer.
And being empowered to be able to walk away from them. And that's where a lot of us in this program starting out feel trapped, because we've got this little pool that we're swimming in now. We're trying to, you know, so absolutely 100%.
We'll end with some other kind of on a high, because I hate talking about regulations and all that kind of boring stuff. So the good news is, guys, gals, if you're afraid customers are going to leave, employees are going to leave, whatever, the inoculation to that sickness is having a system that brings in a steady stream of the right employees or prospective employees, the right prospects for business, that at the end of the day makes all this easy, right? Because if this is your one customer you've got, and that's not the case, thank God, and you haven't had a bid in 6 months, it's really hard for you to have that conversation with that guy. If he's one of dozens of customers and you've gotten a dozen requests for bid in the last 3 weeks, very different conversation of, hey, here's what time it is. And the funny thing is, when we're starving, it's harder to get food. When we have all the food in the world, it's easier to get food. So when you do have that leverage and you're like, I don't care, do what you got to do. I'm very selective about who we work with. And if we're not a fit, then we're not a fit. More people want to stay. And when you have that like stink of desperation on you of the, okay, I got to raise prices, but please, please, please don't leave. My life's going to be over. Those guys leave. So it's a kind of a crappy paradox, but the good thing is you can control it, right? If historically it's been, I don't have enough leads for customers and employees, so I've been a slave. That can be your yesterday. Doesn't have to be your tomorrow. So guys, gals, if you were like, I like some of what he said, I need more, whatever the case is, go to growmycleaningcompany.com. Like I said, for our paid hands-on coaching, it is not cheap, but we have hundreds of hours of just best we can do to give you guys value and help y'all grow. Growmycleaningcompany.com. There's a free online masterclass. There's a Facebook group of like 15,000 owners. There's over 600 podcasts, all sorts of, you can follow us on Instagram for a little more silliness and us being ridiculous. Go check it out. growmycleaningcompany.com. See you there.
Thanks for tuning in to today's show. If you're fired up, ready to grow, and want to see if you have what it takes to work with us at Grow My Cleaning Company, here's what I want you to do right now. Go to growmycleaningcompany.com/talk. That's growmycleaningcompany.com/talk to book an appointment to speak with me personally. I'm going to jump on the phone with you to get you crystal clear on where you are now, where you want to be, and how to get you there. Don't walk around in the dark any longer. If you are serious about growing your cleaning company, it's time to finally get the systems in place that you need to grow. We've helped hundreds of owners of cleaning companies not only grow their business and their personal freedom, but give back to their community as well. If that's what you're looking for, head over to growmycleaningcompany.com/talk and book a time to talk with me personally. I can't wait to get to know you and your business.